Folks, if you look beyond the blue hoardings of Poolbeg Street, you'll see the concrete behemoth they call Hawkins House. This is the former headquarters of a famously dysfunctional entity called the Irish Department of Health. It is consistently voted the ugliest building in Ireland. Former Minister for Health Leo Varadkar said the building reminded him of The Shining. According to the Irish Times, it is unbearably hot in the summer months, impossible to heat in the winter, and bits keep falling off the fixtures and fittings. Architectural critic Frank MacDonald sums it up as follows. It really was appalling. With 122,000 square feet of office space encased in a formless 12-storey slab block and a curtain-walled biscuit tin on each side, Hawkins House is easily the most monstrous pile of architectural rubbish ever built in Dublin. Not only was the building a horror in itself, it also ruined several vistas, notably the view of Trinity College from the top of Dawson Street. Elsewhere, MacDonald refers to the building as a major eyesore and that awful slab. Architectural historian Christine Casey calls it Dublin's least loved office building. You might be wondering what all the fuss is about. Is this really the ugliest edifice in the land? Surely there must be another building in Dublin more deserving of the title. A brave listener might be so bold as to suggest that it's quite attractive in a certain light. Such a person would be disappointed to learn that Hawkins House is due to be demolished any day now. My theory is that Dubliners' visceral hatred of the building has less to do with Hawkins House itself than with what went before. You are looking at what was the epicentre of Dublin entertainment for 140 years. This site was home to three iterations of Dublin's legendary Theatre Royal. The third and most recent iteration had capacity for 4,000 patrons, making it the largest theatre in these islands and the second largest in all of Europe. And yet, many younger Dubliners have never even heard of it. It's been completely erased from the streetscape and no trace remains. Or so it would seem. The first Theatre Royal at Hawkins Street was designed by English theatre architect Samuel Beazley and built on the former site of the Royal Dublin Society, the Mendicity Institute and, before that again, the city's meat market. 400 to 700 workmen were employed on site for 65 days. The average working day lasted 10.5 hours and the men frequently worked in the hours of darkness. The stage was 78 foot across, with 7 wings, and the total cost was £50,000. The grand opening occurred on the 18th of January 1821, despite the fact that the building was actually not finished yet. The great and the good of Dublin were greeted with builder's rubble in the lobbies. The pit was flooded up to ankle level, and an eyewitness claimed that the whole thing was looking liable to collapse. Although initially known as the Albany New Theatre, it was officially renamed the Theatre Royal after George IV attended the venue in August of that year. In time, it formed the hub of a burgeoning entertainment and art district south of the River Liffey, alongside the Queen's and the ancient concert rooms on Great Brunswick Street. Just 1 year after opening, on the 14th of December 1822, the Royal witnessed the most significant theatrical riot of 19th century Dublin. Lord Lieutenant Wellesley, brother of the Duke of Wellington, had a bottle thrown at him by Henry Handwich, a disgruntled Orangeman who resented what he saw as Wellesley's overly sympathetic attitude to Irish Catholics. All hell broke loose. Chairs and fittings were ripped up and used as missiles, and many audience members sustained injuries. The Dublin Metropolitan Police from nearby College Street Station eventually restored order, arresting Handwich and his accomplices. The next 60 years were good to the Royal. It featured on the standard route for all British companies touring Ireland, usual practice being to arrive in Belfast, proceed to the Royal in Dublin, on to Cork, and then back to England by boat. Sadly, Beazley's Theatre Royal burnt to the ground in 1880. A careless plumber left a gas bracket open overnight. The 5-year-old Winston Churchill was in attendance that afternoon for a matinee performance of Ali Baba and the 40 Thieves. According to theatre historian Conor Doyle, baby Winston was saved by theatre manager Francis Egerton. Egerton himself ended up being the only casualty, and the young Churchill was among those who viewed the smouldering ashes of the building the following day. Irish, British, European and indeed world history might have been very different if he had not survived. The second Theatre Royal was designed by another Englishman, Frank Matcham, and opened on the 13th of December 1897. Matcham is generally considered one of the first specialist theatre architects, as opposed to an architect who built an occasional theatre. He was the foremost theatre architect of his day. His nicknames included Magnificent Matcham, Matchless Matcham, and You Can't Matcham. Furthermore, few major towns in the British Isles were without a Matcham theatre. His other commissions included the Grand Opera Belfast, the Lyric Hammersmith, the Hackney Empire, the London Coliseum, and the London Palladium. Fallon, McGrath and Murray of Come Here to Me described the second iteration of the theatre as unrepentantly royalist, citing as evidence the frequent appearance of God Save the King on playbills. Indeed, the standard Theatre Royal programme of the time featured the lion and unicorn of the British coat of arms alongside the old Anglo-Irish Parliament and Nelson's Pillar, architectural shorthand for British power in Ireland. Where the Queen's and the Abbey were producing Irish plays for Irish audiences, the Royal was putting on the likes of Sir Walter Raleigh, an English playwright, a fully English cast, a character list comprised of English aristocrats, courtiers and soldiers, and a plot that hinged on the life and times of Sir Walter Raleigh, a man generally regarded as a historical villain in Ireland for his role in the Munster plantations. In July 1912, suffragettes Mary Lee and Gladys Evans were sentenced to 5 years in prison for throwing a flaming chair at British Prime Minister Herbert Asquith, who was speaking about Home Rule in the theatre. Yet another British PM who might have been burnt alive in the Royal. The coat of arms of the British monarchy still featured on all programmes as late as 1918. We would do well to remember that 1918 was the year the pro-independence Sinn Féin party won 73 of a possible 105 seats in Westminster. Despite all this, Matcham's Royal managed to survive the War of Independence, the Civil War and Ireland's far-from-roaring 20s. However, it would close its doors for the last time in 1934. The third and final iteration of the Theatre Royal would replace it the following year. Folks, for the sake of keeping things fresh, I would suggest now that you leave Mulligan's Pub behind and walk to where Poolbeg Street meets Hawkins Street up ahead. Mulligan's, of course, was much beloved of Theatre Royal performers, located as it was directly opposite the stage door for many years. In James Joyce's short story Counterparts, a fella called Farrington ends up in a foul mood here because he loses an arm wrestling competition to a visiting English circus performer. When you've reached the corner, cross the road and stand with your back to the neo-Tudor Leinster Market. Incidentally, this little lane is where Henry Handwich and the Orange Order planned the bottle riot of 1822.